but before he could tell Tiago to shut up, Art said, "That was a chance I was willing to take."
"Oh, okay."
I was either having a processing error, or something that the shows I watch call a rage blackout, or another emotional collapse. So I pushed off the med platform, walked out of the sterile field and into the restroom, and slammed my hand on the hatch close control. Chapter 9. After 27 minutes and 12 seconds, Rati tapped on the hatch and sent me the feed message. "Can I come in and talk to you?" I sent back, "Do you have my jacket?" There was a pause. I was keyword monitoring my inputs, the way I used to back when I was rented out on contracts, to make sure no one was screaming for help. But with Art back online, it was unlikely. Unless Art had decided to murder everybody, in which case shit was going to get real. But that was also unlikely, because Art kept trying to contact me, and I doubted it was planning a mass murder while also composing messages about how I was ungrateful, and also wrong, and being a sulky dumbass. Not in those exact words, but that's what it meant. And why wouldn't I fucking talk to it, and you get the idea? Then Rati said, "I've got it." He meant the jacket. "Then you can come in." There was another pause. Then Rati asked, "Can Amina come in too?" I thumped my head back against the wall. I was sitting on the counter next to the sink and running episode 237 of The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon in background, so I could pretend to be watching it during the 400-plus times Art had pinged me. You may have noticed, my processing capacity allows me to think about a lot of things and do a lot of things at the same time, more than humans, augmented humans, or lower-functioning bots can. Art's processing capacity made me look like I was moving in slow motion. This made Art capable of both enormous patience and also of becoming furious when it didn't get what it wanted immediately. It was one of the few ways I could successfully mess with it. I had cleaned off all the blood and fluid with the hygiene unit, but was too angry to take a shower. Showers are nice, and I wanted to stay angry. One of Art's long-sleeved crew t-shirts had fallen out of the recycler at one point. My first impulse was to throw it away, but I needed it, so I pulled it on over my head and threw what was left of my shirt on the floor. Now I was sitting with my boots on the polished counter surface. I hoped it was annoying Art. I was assuming it had a sensor view in here, if not a camera view. I didn't want to upset Amina any more than I already had, so I sent, "Yes." The hatch slid open and Rati and Amina stepped in. Rati had gotten his knee fixed and wasn't limping anymore. He shut the hatch and Amina went to the other end of the sink counter and boosted herself up to sit on it. She curled her legs up, watching me worriedly. I said, "It can hear anything you say anywhere aboard." Rati handed me my jacket with a smile. "Yes, but I'm used to that." Yes, I got that was about me. The jacket had been recycler cleaned and the material rewoven to fix the burned parts and holes. Rati sighed, leaned against the wall, and said, "So, you have a relationship with this transport." I was horrified. Humans are disgusting. No! Rati made a little exasperated noise. "I didn't mean a sexual relationship." Amina's brow furrowed in confusion and curiosity. "Is that possible?" "No," I told her. Rati persisted. "You have a friendship." I settled back in the corner and hugged my jacket. No. "Not anymore?" Rati asked pointedly. "No," I said very firmly. Art had stopped pinging me, but I knew it was listening. It's like having a malign, impersonal intelligence that is incapable of minding its own business reading over your shoulder. Rati's expression was doing a neutral yet skeptical thing that was really annoying. He said, Have you made many friends who are bots? I thought about poor dead Mickey, who had wanted to be my friend. There was a 93% chance Mickey had wanted to be everybody's friend, but Mickey had said to me, "I have human friends, but I never had a friend like me before." I said, "No, it's not like that. Not like it is between humans." Rati was still skeptical. "Is it? The transport seems to think differently." I said, "The transport doesn't know what the hell it's talking about. Plus, it lies a lot, and it's mean." A minute, undetectable in the range of human eyesight, fluctuation in the lights told me Art had heard that. "Why do you call it Art?" Amina asked. "It said its name was Perihelion." I told her, "It's an anagram. It stands for Asshole Research Transport." Amina blinked. "That's not an anagram." "Whatever. Human words, there's too many of them, and I don't care." "Regardless," Rati said, "I think that while you and Perihelion know how to have relationships with humans, neither of you is quite sure how to have a relationship with each other." It still sounded disgusting. "Do you have to call it a relationship?" Rati shrugged one shoulder. "You don't like the word friendship. What else is there?" I had no idea. I did a quick search on my archives and pulled out the first result. "Mutual administrative assistance?" The lights fluctuated again, in what I could tell was a really sarcastic way. I yelled, "I know what you're doing, Art. Stop trying to communicate with me." Amina looked around the room, trying to see what I was reacting to. Rati sighed again. He said, "I don't know if you've been listening to what we've been doing outside this restroom, but Arata and Tiago have been negotiating with Perihelion and have come to an arrangement. We will help locate and hopefully free its crew, and it will give us any assistance needed to return to preservation space." "That's not an arrangement," I said. "That's just doing what it wants." "We know," Rati made a helpless gesture, "but we don't have any other choice. Even if it would let us send a distress beacon through the wormhole to the nearest station, that station would be in Corporation Rim territory. And we're in a so-called lost system that has been claimed as salvage by a corporate, which makes us in violation of a lot of their laws. Plus, we're in a transport that had alien remnant technology installed on its drive. Telling whoever responds to the call that the transport was modified against its will is not going to get us anywhere but buried under massive fines, and it might even be worse for Perihelion's crew and their university." He was right about all that, but it was actually worse than he thought. "This is not like Preservation Alliance territory. You can only get a station responder when you're inside a station's defined area of influence, and they won't forward distress beacons, and they don't send responders through wormholes. At most, they'll pass the call to a local retrieval company, which would contact us and contract to rescue us. We'd have to pay them up front and probably end up owing the station for passing the call along, though that depends on local regulations." Amina's jaw dropped. "We'd have to pay someone to rescue us?" Rati rubbed his face and muttered, "Oh, I hate the Corporation Rim." "Really? Me too," I said. Yes, that was sarcasm. "And I had just thought of something that I should have noticed earlier." Amina was clearly trying to work out all the possible repercussions. "And if corporates did show up, would you be okay because you're a construct?" "I'm fine," I told her. "It is amazing what the people on Preservation don't know about how the Corporation Rim operates. Sec units are legal here. Your mother is my registered owner and you're her designated representative." And it was definitely Amina and not Tiago. Amina looked appalled. My mother doesn't own you.
Yes, she does.
Dr. Baradwaj had told me how preservation-based humans don't understand these concepts, and I had believed her, mostly, but seeing it in action was always different. Amina looked at Rati for help. He nodded grimly. Arata, Oversay, and I all have certified copies of the legal documents stored in our interfaces, just in case. If we do fall into the hands of corporates, Amina, you must assert legal ownership of SecUnit. Amina waved her hands.
But that's... ugh!
I don't like it either, I told her. Rati said, that aside, Perihelion says it will be some time before he can make repairs to its engine systems so we're able to start the search. And we have preparations and plans to make. He clapped his hands briskly.
So, will you come out of the bathroom now?
Yes. I pushed myself off the counter and pulled my jacket on over Art's stupid t-shirt. Because Art is lying. This time when the lights fluctuated, it wasn't sarcastic. I walked out into medical. The view of the control area was still active, with Arata seated in a station chair and Tiago now standing next to her. They were cycling through engine status data on Art's alien remnant augmented wormhole trip, occasionally making little horrified noises. Oversay was in medical now, with the implant we had removed from Elytra on a sterile work surface. She was examining it using an imaging field. The magnified scans of the individual parts floated in it, rotating. Elytra was sitting up on a gurney near Oversay, peering uncertainly at what she was doing with the implant. Oversay pulled out of her feed to look over at us inquiringly.
Is everyone ready to talk now?
Not exactly. Rati sounded concerned, which was totally unfair. I said, Arata, this transport did not come to this system in answer to a distress call. Tiago turned around to watch me suspiciously. Arata pushed back her station chair. Someone had brought her some supplies from the emergency kit because the burn on her cheek had been treated.
SecUnit, I think we have a working arrangement with Perihelion for now. Unless this is something that could endanger us, are you sure you want to confront it just at the moment?
I said, I am absolutely sure. Rati threw his hands in the air and went over to sit next to Oversay. With a let's get this over with expression, Oversay asked,
SecUnit, how do you know there wasn't a distress call?
I said, this is a teaching and research vessel. The student quarters and classroom compartments aren't in use, and the lab module was inactive, and there was no cargo module attached. So, what was it doing when it got this distress call?
All the humans looked up at the ceiling.
Art said, and this is your idea of being helpful.
I said, this is my idea of the opposite of being helpful. I am here against my will, and you are going to regret that.
Arata pressed both hands to her face.
Maybe you should go back in the bathroom and think about this a little more.
I'm done thinking, I said.
Art said, that's obvious.
I know, I walked into that one, which oddly enough did not make me any less mad. I said, you came here for a reason, and it wasn't a distress call. What was it?
On the side of the room to my right, this was going on. Elytra whispered to Oversay and Rati,
why are you letting your SecUnit do this?
Oversay's jaw tightened. She said, it's not our SecUnit. It's...
Rati squeezed her wrist and gave her what I recognized as a don't trust the corporates look. He told Elytra,
it's normally very responsible.
Tiago was eyeing me through the conference image, frowning. He said,
it is a good question.
Of course, none of the sensible humans are supporting me now. It has to be the one who never agrees with me when I'm not being an idiot.
I said to Art, why were you here? What do you really do? Deep space research? Teaching humans? cargo hauling, none of those are reasons to be here in the system where corporates were trying to salvage a dead colony.
Art said, everything that occurred before my crew was captured is irrelevant. It is none of your business.
I said, you made it my business when you kidnapped me.
You are not here against your will. Leave whenever you want. You know where the door is.
That sounded just as sarcastic and mean as you think it did. Also possibly really threatening to the humans. Arata and Rati were both waving at me, making gestures which I interpreted as urgent requests for me to shut up now. But I had gotten Art to lose its temper again and be threatening, and that was what I wanted. I folded my arms and said, "You're upsetting Amina." I'd noted that Art's tone when it spoke to Amina was completely different than it was to the other humans. I didn't think it would hurt the others, but it wasn't careful of their feelings the way it was of Amina's. Whatever else Art was, the classroom space and bunk room said it was, actually, on a regular basis, a teaching vessel. And before this, when I was stupid and we were still friends, it had talked about human adolescence in an indulgent way. Amina took a breath, probably to object, based on her whole, despite being a relatively sheltered adolescent from the most naive human society in existence, I feel a need to pretend that none of this is bothering me, thing. I looked at her and tapped our private feed connection, be honest. She let the breath out. She prodded the deck with the toe of her shoe and admitted, reluctantly, the gray people were terrifying, and being shot at, and I'd really like to know what's going on, not just a convenient story. There was a long silence. I felt a lot of human eyes looking at me, and the sense of weight and attention through the feed that was Art. Finally, Art said, I have to violate my crew's confidentiality agreement in order to answer that question. I said, you kidnapped me and my humans. That violated my contract, a contract I made with them, myself. Not a company contract, I meant. A me contract. And Art had got me dragged into this and messed everything up. Art said, I will consider it. Then it put up a connection schematic, which showed it had just cut Elytra's active connection out of the general feed. On a closed channel with me and my five humans, Art said, this information must be kept private. If any of you reveal anything I tell you to the corporate representative, I will kill her. I had a release of adrenaline from my organic parts. Uncomfortable and weird. I wasn't attached to Elytra, who seemed like the typical human client I had had with the company. Not too dumb, not too smart, and only 53% likely to do something that ended up with me, one, shot, two, abandoned on a hostile planet. But she was adjacent to my humans, and I didn't like the idea of anybody dying anywhere in that neighborhood. The humans clearly had a moment of tension. There were a lot of gazes all intersecting each other and attempts to conceal worried expressions. Then Arata said, agreed. We won't tell her anything. She cleared her throat and said aloud, maybe we can use your cabins to clean up and rest? Art said on the general feed, of course. Rati and Oversay helped Elytra get settled into one of Art's bunk rooms, an unused one that the asshole gray people didn't manage to get their growth medium odor all over. There was an attached bathroom, and Rati brought self-heating meal boxes and beverage containers for her so she didn't have an excuse to wander around. I put a drone sentry outside the door because I don't trust anybody with security, particularly Art. My humans went to the galley, which was far enough from the bunk room that Elytra wouldn't hear the conversation, even if she walked out into the corridor. The humans were eating meals, too, and Tiago had made a hot liquid for them in the galley's prep unit. Art put up another unnecessarily elaborate split display with a view on Elytra, who had finished eating, taken the medication Art's med system had recommended, and curled up to sleep. Arata, still eating her meal, said, Perihelion, are you ready to answer SecUnit's questions now? Actually, first she said, "Sec unit, will you stop pacing and sit down?" I said, "No." Art said, "I am a teaching vessel, and a research vessel for deep space mapping, and I sometimes haul cargo. All that is true. My crew also gathers information and takes actions for anti-corporate organizations that operate as part of and are supported by the polity of Mihira and New Tideland, and administered by the Pan-System University of Mihira and New Tideland. These actions are often dangerous." Arata nodded, exchanging a look with Oversay. Arata said, "So you came here because of this lost colony, to examine it before the corporates arrived?" "We received information that a database reconstruction contracted by a consortium of corporations involved in salvage and reclamation had turned up coordinates to a colony seeded approximately 37 corporate standard years ago."
"An abandoned colony."
Amina stirred the goop on her plate, glaring.
"A bunch of people left to die, like our great-grandparents."
Amina wasn't wrong. It was similar to what had happened to the colonists who had eventually founded Preservation. They had been seeded, that actually means dumped, on a mostly terraformed planet with the idea that supply ships would return through the wormhole at frequent intervals until the colony was self-supporting. This was exactly how corporates established colonies now, except sometimes the corporates went bankrupt or were attacked by other corporates and the wormhole data was destroyed, or the wormhole itself destabilized, or all record of the colony's existence was just lost in a database that ended up locked due to legal battles over ownership. And so no supply ships came, and all the humans starved or died when the cheap, shitty terraforming failed. I'd seen movies and shows that used this as a plot, but I hadn't known they weren't just stories until I came to Preservation. Most had depressing endings and were part of a whole awful things happening to isolated groups of helpless humans genre that was not my favorite. Art said, "The colonies are abandoned and cut off due to corporate bankruptcy or negligence, yes. Dead, not necessarily. Some managed to survive." Arata had finished eating and was folding up her plate for the recycler.
"Didn't you say this site had two colonies?"
"Yes. Historical sources recorded the existence of a former pre-corporation Rim colony on this site, but no other information."
Art put the colony report, what there was of it, in the feed. It looked like it was put together from fragments, as if someone had deleted the original and this was a reconstruction. Most of it was what Art had already told us, original pre-corporation Rim colony site, which nobody knew crap about, or if they had, none of the data had survived to make it into this report. Corporate colony seeded by a company called Adamantine Explorations, partial terraforming. No info on number of colonists, terrain, weather, habitats, equipment, illegal genetic experimentation, very illegal alien remnants, nothing. The only interesting new info was from one of Art's crew members, an augmented human named Iris, who had added some newsfeed archives about the hostile takeover of Adamantine Explorations after the colony had been established. There were three different articles from news sources that said an undetermined number, anywhere from 4 to 24, Adamantine Explorations employees had died in a firefight, holding off the corporate takeover long enough for their database of wormhole coordinates to be deleted. The only reason the physical data storage still existed was that the attackers had broken in and killed the techs before they could vaporize it. Iris's note ended, "Tempting to think that they were trying to deliberately protect, conceal the colony. Possible? Just not likely." I didn't think it was likely either, but like Iris, I thought the fact that three different news sources had reported versions of the story indicated that the incident, or a variation of it, had actually occurred. All the humans were quiet as they read the report.
Yes, it feels like it takes them forever. I sorted through my media storage, but I knew they would finish before I could get anything started.
That's strange,
Oversay said softly.
Were they trying to protect the colony or just their investment?
You just like a mystery, Arata told her, most of her attention on the report.
I like mysteries in fiction, not in our lives,
Oversay retorted. Art ignored them.
My crew's mission was to ascertain whether the colony was still inhabited, and if so, attempt contact and prevent interference and exploitation by salvage corporations, whether by evacuating the inhabitants or, if the colony is actually viable, providing assistance.
Amina leaned her elbows on the table.
But why do you have to do that? If people from the colony survived, then there's nothing another corporation could do, right? If the original corporation that sent the colony is gone, then the people are free.
Unfortunately, that's not the way it works here,
Oversay told her. Her expression had that grimly frustrated quality that was common when my humans talked about the corporates.
Another corporation could move in and take over.
Amina was skeptical.
Take over? But people are living there. I guess they could settle a second colony somewhere on the planet, but they couldn't take over the existing colony, could they?
They could,
Oversay assured her.
They have.
Amina's expression turned horrified.
But that's like, I don't know what it is, but it's at least kidnapping.
That's how it works in the Corporation Rim, Tiago told her, stirring his liquid. The planet is considered property, someone's property that can be salvaged if the original owner is gone. The colonists, or their descendants, or whoever is living there now, don't have any claim. Perihelion, what do you do about it?
How do you help the colonists? Rati asked.
Art said, the university has the means to produce the colony's original charter documents, which often contain clauses specifying that if the originating corporate body has ceased operations, then ownership of the planet is ceded to the colonists, or their issue, or successors living on the original site.
I'd heard the key words means to produce as opposed to archival copies. I said, you and your crew collect the necessary survey data from the colony and the university forges the documents. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I was mad at Art, but the overall mission sounded great in a screw-a-corporation-sideways way.
Is that right, Perihelion?
Rati asked.
Art ignored us. A contract between the colony and an independently operated transfer station is then facilitated. Once the station has established a presence, then the colony is relatively secure from the worst excess of corporate predation and free to accept other forms of assistance offered by non-corporate entities.
Arata's mouth was twisted.
Elytra said there were two corporate ships here, correct? Did you arrive in this system before or after they did?
Before. With my crew held hostage, I was forced to comply with their captor's orders to fire on a Barish Estranza support carrier. But my memory archive of that period is damaged, and I don't know what happened to the vessel or the crew.
So the Gray people could also have these corporate crews as prisoners. Rati looked like he was trying to figure out just how many humans we might have to rescue.
Do you know why they brought Elytra and the other corporate on board? You?
He made a vague gesture over his shoulder.
Why they put the implants in them?
I thought it was to torture them for fun, Amina said darkly.
Art hesitated, though not long enough for the humans to notice.
They may have wanted their shuttle. It's still docked in my secondary cargo module slot.
That hesitation would have been suspicious, but I also thought Art might honestly not know, which was strange because it should know. Maybe the memory archive issue was worse than Art had implied. But my two landing shuttles are also still in place, so that's unlikely. Arata propped her chin on her hand. She was exhibiting several behaviors indicating that she was deep in thought. Perihelion, did the rest happen as you explained? That when you came back online, your crew was gone?
Yes.
There was a tone to that word, not Art's base level of sarcasm. It had an edge that echoed in the feed. I didn't react. Art had kidnapped me to get me here, put my humans in danger. I was not going to feel sympathy for it. Absolutely not. Rati's expression was dubious. Any luck remembering what happened when they disappeared?
I am still reconstructing damaged archives.
Could SecUnit help you with that?
Amina asked, very casually, not looking at me. I folded my arms and glared at the side of Amina's head. Art very obviously did not answer. Oversay leaned back in her chair, not comfortable.
We need to try to put together a timeline of when things happened.
By the time I opened my mouth to say I had a chart, Art had said, obviously, and threw a chart up next to the split screen. It showed the times, one, Art knew it had first arrived through the wormhole into the colony's system, two, when Art's memory disruption occurred, three, when it had reinitialized to find intruders aboard and its crew gone and an alien remnant installed on its drive, four, the attack on the corporate supply carrier, five, the moment the deletion occurred, and six, the moment Art's backup restarted. All except for point one were estimates, as Art's onboard timekeeping had been disrupted. Yes, it had actually left out the whole part about telling the targets that I was a weapon they could use and bringing them to where they could attack our base ship, and using the comm code to locate me. That was fucking incredible. Amina was telling the others.
Before everything got weirder, Ross tried to tell me about the Colony Reclamation Project, but Elytra cut him off and changed the subject.
Tiago looked at the view of the bunk room, where Elytra was hidden under blankets. He said,
Is it possible that these people, the gray people,
he shook his head. We know influence, terrible effects, from alien remnants are possible. Could the gray people have come from either the recent colony or the original one? Or are the corporates likely to use genetic manipulation on their colonists?
Undetermined,
Art said, like it honestly didn't give a crap. And honestly, it probably didn't. The targets had attacked Art's crew. It wasn't interested in the mystery, it just wanted its crew back. When no one else could answer the question, Rati leaned his elbows on the table. I think the corporates would do anything they could get away with. Obviously, these gray people, what do we call them? Targets, I said. Tiago did a thing with his eyes that was like an eye roll, but not quite. Rati continued, The targets must have brought the alien remnant tech that was installed on the wormhole drive. Oversay tapped her fingers on the table, thinking,
Those implants weren't alien remnant tech. In fact, they were old, much older than 37 years, when the corporate colony was established.
Yes. There must have been usable but outdated tech left behind on the site of the earlier colony, the pre-corporation Rim one. Rati poked absently at the food left on his plate, then slid it over to Arata so she could finish it off.
That solid-state screen interface, I've seen those in historical displays.
Amina nodded, waving a hand at me.
And, you know, they called the wormhole a bridge transit. I've never heard that before.
Tiago seemed intrigued.
Did they speak a standard language?
No, but there was a translation at first. Then it stopped when SecUnit woke up and the fighting started, Amina told him.
Since Art didn't have any usable video or audio, I pulled some examples and sent them into the general feed. The humans listened with puzzled expressions. Then Tiago nodded grimly to himself.
That's a mix of at least three pre-Corporation Rim languages.
That certainly matches their tech,
Oversay said. Tiago added, and many of the really deadly alien contamination incidents were pre-Corporation Rim.
What sort of incidents? Arata asked.
Tiago said, Preservation's archives only have detailed information on one that took place on a moon that was being converted into a massive base of operations for one of the early pre-CR polities. Over 70% of the population was killed. The only reason anyone survived was because a recently activated central system managed to lock off the living quarters and keep it sealed until help arrived. He glanced at me.
So they were saved by a machine intelligence.
I know what a central system is, Tiago. It was more outdated tech, like a hub system that did everything with no subordinate systems. I had never encountered one that wasn't part of a historical drama.
Oversay leaned forward. So, how were the people killed? The ones who were affected by the contamination attacked the others?
Tiago wasn't nearly as annoying when he was being smart like this. He said,
Yes, though that sort of violent reaction to remnant contamination appears to be rare. But since so many of these incidents, historical and contemporary, are suppressed, we don't actually know whether it is or not.
Rati nodded agreement. With the corporates being so secretive, it's hard to tell.
Oversay said, The only laws they all seem to recognize are about alien remnant discovery and interdiction and the licensing restrictions for use of strange synthetics.
But why would alien remnants affect people like that? Amina asked. Is it intentional? Is it something that's protecting the site where the aliens didn't want anybody else to take what was there?
Rati took a breath, then let it out again.
I never thought so. I think it's the same as if an alien person who had never seen anything like a terraforming matrix accidentally touched one and was poisoned. There's no intentionality. Sometimes the contamination effects are as if different priorities are loaded into the affected person's brain, like alien software running on human hardware. The result is chaos.
He gestured with a utensil.
But do we think the targets are from the Adamantine colony or descendants of the pre-CR colony? Or could they have come from outside this system?
All indications suggest they came from within this system, Art said.
I said, You're having memory archive issues. How do you know who was or wasn't on board you? There could have been hundreds of corporate salvage groups and raiders and colonists and aliens.
SecUnit,
Arata started at the same time as Rati said. I don't think, Art interrupted.
SecUnit's earlier statement that I lie a lot was untrue. I obviously cannot reveal information against the interests of my crew unless circumstances warrant.
Arata nodded.
Right, we understand. I think SecUnit is looking out for our interests,
Art said. I want an apology.
I made an obscene gesture at the ceiling with both hands.
I know Art isn't the ceiling, but the humans kept looking up there like it was.
Art said, That was unnecessary.
In a low voice, Rati commented to Oversay, Anyone who thinks machine intelligences don't have emotions needs to be in this very uncomfortable room right now. Art was suddenly in my feed on a private channel.
I did what I had to do. You should understand that.
I said aloud, I'm not talking to you on the feed. You're not my client, and you're not my... I couldn't say it. Not anymore.
All the humans were staring at me. I wanted to face the wall, but that felt like giving in. I suddenly had views all over the ship. Art had given me access to its cameras. I snarled, "Stop being nice to me!" Then Amina said aloud, "I think you need to give SecUnit some time." "Right. That's all this situation needed." I asked her, "Is it talking to you on a private channel?" Amina winced.
"Yes, but..."
I yelled, "Art, stop talking to my human behind my back." You know that thing humans do where they think they're being completely logical and they absolutely are not being logical at all, and on some level they know that but can't stop? Apparently it can happen to SecUnits too. Arata got up from the table and held up her hands. "Hey, now, let's stop this. It's unproductive. Perihelion, you need to stop pressuring SecUnit. I know you're upset about your crew and being deleted, and this has all been terrible and confusing, but SecUnit is upset too. Yelling at each other isn't going to help."
Art said, "I was not yelling."
"Of course you weren't,"
Arata agreed, in the same reasonable tone Mensa's marital partners Farai and Tano used when they talked to their younger kids. She faced the others.
"We need to work this situation. Perihelion, if you could give us access to any other information your crew had on this colony, we'd really appreciate that. In the meantime, Oversay and I are going to start collecting data on this alien thing that was on Perihelion's drive, and see if we can't help get the normal space drive online any faster. Rati and Tiago, I want you to check out the deceased targets and do some pathology scans. We also need a translation of what they were saying in SecUnit's recordings. If we can confirm they're descended from one of the two groups of human colonists, I think... well, I think we'll be able to make more effective plans. Amina, I'd like you to try to talk to Elytra again, see if you can get any more information out of her. I think it's clear she's been holding back, and now that she knows about the implants, she might be more forthcoming. SecUnit, maybe you could figure out what caused Perihelion's first reinitialization and how the targets got aboard? I think we can all agree that having mysterious intruders invade Perihelion again is something we really need to avoid. Is everyone good with that? Perihelion, are you all right with this plan?
Art said, "For now."
Chapter 10.
Well, this was just great. The humans started to disperse, Arata and Oversay toward engineering, Rati going back to medical to get the pathology suite ready. Amina helped Tiago clear the meal trays off the table. He touched her shoulder.
"My daughter, are you sure you're all right to speak to this corporate?"
"I'm fine, uncle."
She was exasperated and did the shrugging, shoulders-flopping arms thing that illustrated that very well.
"I don't think Elytra would try to hurt me. And she knows SecUnit is here, and Art."
She glanced at me guiltily.
"It said I could call it Art."
Of course it did. I felt the hinge of my jaw grind. Tiago squeezed Amina's shoulder.
"Just be careful."
"I will,"
Amina told him, already heading back into the prep area where the nearest recycler was.
"I'm going to get her some fresh clothes. It'll give me an excuse to go in there."
Tiago looked at me, and I looked at the wall. He said,
"I want to thank you for everything you did for Amina."
Was it grudging, or was I just in a terrible mood? I don't know. I have no idea, so I didn't respond. Amina came out with a packet of clothing from the recycler, and I followed her down the corridor toward Elytra's bunk room. From Art's camera view, Elytra had gotten up to get another container of water from the bathroom, so it was a good time for Amina to casually stroll in and offer the clothes. Then Art secured a private channel with me and said,
"I don't need your help."
"That's not what you thought when you kidnapped me," I told it.
"I meant, You don't have to speak to me if you don't want to.
Fine, whatever, I don't care. I said, do you want the fucking help or not?
Art dumped its archive on me, and I was immediately drowning in the giant mound of data that comprised its second-by-second status checks. Fortunately, after keeping track of the company's shit-tons of mined data, I knew how to deal with it. I started by defining what the gap in Art's memory archive might look like, which I was guessing would be a giant interruption in the constant incoming reports from subsystems like life support, navigation, etc. It was tricky, because for Art, these were not like discrete reports from connected systems, but more like the sensory input I would get from the pads on the tips of my fingers. It was a lot more complicated than the way my own archives stored data. But once I had an idea of what I was looking for, I constructed a query. I stopped at the top of the bunkroom corridor and let Amina go on alone. I didn't want Elytra to see me or to realize I was lurking out here, since I thought that might impede Amina's ability to get her to talk. Amina reached the hatch and sent Elytra a note on the feed.
Hello. I brought you some spare clothes. Can I come in?
While Elytra opened the hatch with the feed control, and they sorted through the clothes, I checked my inputs for the others. Arata and Oversay had stopped in the corridor that went toward the engineering module. Arata hugged Oversay, and Oversay kissed her and said into her ear,
"You can do this, babe. You're a bulkhead."
"I'm a wibbly bulkhead," Arata muttered.
The wibbliness was why I trusted Arata. Overconfident humans who don't listen to anybody else scare the hell out of me. Arata stepped back and smiled at Oversay.
Got to get to work.
Art had dispatched the medical gurney earlier, and it had been moving methodically around the ship, picking up messy, dead targets. Now it floated into medical where Rati waited, Tiago following it in. There was a lot of congealing blood and fluids.
"Oh, this is not going to be fun," Rati muttered.
"No,"
Tiago agreed grimly.
"I'll get the biohazard gear."
Art added to its action list, "Repair and reactivate drones. Collect target drones for examination and destruction." In the bunk room, Amina was asking,
"How are you feeling?"
"Better."
Elytra folded a jacket in her lap.
"I know you're going to ask, but we didn't know those implant things were in us. I don't remember that at all."
"Interesting," Art said.
I was still mad, right? But it was interesting.
I said, "Because you have a gap in your memory archive?"
"Yes. It can't be the same cause, of course, but it's the same operational approach. Take a prisoner, cause a memory disruption."
I hate it when Art is right. It was the same operational approach, and we really needed to find out if the targets had used alien remnant tech to cause the memory disruptions or not. I said, the mix of outdated human technology and alien remnant could mean the stupid pre-corporation Rim humans established a colony on an interdicted alien remnant site.
"Not necessarily," Art said.
Before I could argue, it added, "The site might have been undiscovered, not interdicted." Art had a lot stricter standards about what constituted evidence than humans did. It was always wanting to prove things actually existed before it would make plans for what to do about them. Yes, it was annoying.
Art said, "It's possible to theorize that something from the original pre-CR colony may have remained on the site when the corporate colonists arrived. But it seems strange that the later colonists would preserve and use outdated tech."
I didn't want to admit it, but Art wasn't wrong about that either. This tech wasn't useless, but I'd taken target control system down with an attack that was practically from ancient history. That's how I'd known about it, from watching historical dramas. So the facts we know are,
that there was a human site in existence before the corporate colony, and that somebody found alien remnants at some point. Art created a feed graphic, yes, another one, labeled Perihelion and Sec Unit's Initial Suppositions, with an access list that included all the humans except Elytra. The first bullet point was Fact 1. Corporate colony was established on an early pre-corporation rim human occupation site. Questions: are alien remnants present? If yes, were they original to the site or introduced later? Was the pre-CR site established because of the presence of alien remnants? Was the corporate colony established because of the presence of alien remnants? The humans all paused to read it. Amina, listening to Elytra talk about her family, covered her moment of distraction with a cough. Elytra's family was in a hereditary indenture to Barish Estranza and was trying to build up enough employment credit to get her and her siblings and cousins transferred into management training. I knew Amina well enough by now to recognize she was feigning polite interest to disguise horrified interest. My queries on Art's status data started returning results, and I backburnered everything to check them. Huh. Art had said it had one forced shutdown and reinitialize when its crew disappeared and the target showed up. Then a second forced shutdown when the target control system had deleted it. So when had target control system been loaded into Art's systems? Presumably, its invasion of Art's systems had caused that first forced shutdown. Except there were more gaps than that. I wished Pin Lee was here, and though I hated to admit it, I wished Garothin was here too. Both were analysts, and while I was way better at it than they were, at least I could have shown them what I was looking at. I said, "Art, look at this." I was aware enough of Art to know that it was doing several things at once, helping Arata and Oversay collect scans from what was left of the alien remnant on its drive, directing the med systems pathology unit for Rati, working on the translation of the target's language with Tiago, guiding the reinitialization and diagnostics of its damaged propulsion systems, plus monitoring all its other ongoing processes. But I suddenly had 86.3% of its attention. For Art, that was a lot. It examined my query results. A human in this situation would have said, "That's not possible." Art said,
"Intriguing."
I needed to put these in a timeline. I looked for major events like wormhole entrances and exits and navigation changes so I would know what they looked like in the status data. Art pulled generic examples for me, and I started another query set. In the bunk room, Amina had been cautiously working around to the subject of the colony. With a serious expression, she said slowly, "Look, I know you don't want to reveal things that your corporate supervisors or whoever don't want you to, but we really need to know about this lost colony." Elytra bit her lip. "It's proprietary information." "For fuck's sake." On our private feed connection, Amina sent, "I'm not sure what she means by this. Somebody owns the information?" "Yes," I told her. "She's afraid of her salvage corporation. She needs to be more afraid of being recaptured by the targets." Amina said,
"I understand that, but the targets, those gray people, they could show up again. Especially because no one knows how they got on this transport in the first place, or what happened to the crew."
She lifted her hands helplessly.
"Whatever happened to them could happen to us. And it's more likely the longer we're stuck here."
Elytra put her hand on her own shoulder as if trying to reach for the place where her implant had been.
"I thought the new people were the crew."
Art butted in with, "Tell her they are." Amina nodded earnestly.
"Sure, yes, they are. But we're... they're missing the crew members who were here when the targets took over the ship."
Elytra's frown deepened.
"Why can't we leave the system?"
"The normal space engines aren't working yet.
But even if we could get to the wormhole, the transport won't let us go. You heard it. It's programmed not to leave without its crew, the rest of the crew. And it's really mean and determined.
On the feed, Amina said, "Sorry, Art."
"Apology accepted," Art said. I felt its attention shift in the feed. Imagine it staring meaningfully at me.
It could stare all it wanted. I'm not apologizing.
Amina added, "And we already know about some things, like the alien remnants around the pre-corporation Rim colony."
Both Art and I shut up. I know, I was surprised too, and waited to see if that would work.
"Oh."
Elytra slumped a little.
"I don't know very much. Ross and I were both environmental techs, and everything was need to know. Our briefing said the colony was originally seeded by an early polity, probably via cold sleep ship. It was discovered about 40 years ago and reseeded through the wormhole by a company called Adamantine Explorations that kept the location private. Then they went down in a hostile buyout, and the databases were destroyed."
Amina looked confused, and Elytra helpfully explained.
"Somebody was probably trying to force the incoming management to pay for the code keys to get the data. But you know, that's not a very good idea. They might take it out on the seized assets. And it's bad enough being bought out like that without the management coming in with a grudge against you."
Amina blinked a lot, apparently as an attempt to control her expression. I've tried it. It doesn't work very well. On the feed, she said,
"When she says seized assets, she means the employees, right? The people?"
"Correct," Art said. Elytra continued,
"But anyway, the storage media was saved, and Barish Estranza bought it at some point later, and they were able to recreate the data. And they launched this salvage project."
She hesitated.
"There were rumors about alien remnants. Supposedly some of the recovered data referenced them, but that could have just been rumors."
Amina said,
"So what was Barish Estranza going to do about the alien remnants if they were there? You have to have a special license to recover them, right? Even in the corporation rim?" "That's above my pay level."
Elytra touched the back of her neck uneasily.
"Physical reactions are supposed to be useful for determining whether humans are telling the truth or lying or are secretly planning to murder their whole survey team, etc. And sometimes they were.
But also sometimes humans just secreted agitated brain chemicals for no apparent reason, or because something was physically wrong, like their digestive systems malfunctioning." But Art's scan of Elytra showed she was experiencing signs of physical distress when she talked about the implants.
"Was that what was in us?" she said. "Those implants? Did they have strange synthetics? Your co-worker took one apart."
I pulled a preliminary report from Oversay's feed, mostly just the raw data she had collected for the scan. She hadn't had time to write up any notes from it.
"No, she said it was very simple tech."
Amina bit her lip, trying to look like she was thinking and not reading the feed. Art had completed the report and noted that the implants had no alien components, but that they might be receivers for a more esoteric transmitter. It had added, "Examine all target technology," to the group work list, and added the line, "2. Primitive human technology designed to work with alien power sources or strange synthetic materials to perihelion and sec unit suppositions chart."
"She thought it could have been connected to alien remnant tech."
Elytra slumped and looked sick. My query results for establishing a timeline of Art's forced shutdowns returned, and I matched them with the gaps I'd already identified. That was when I hit the first oh-shit moment. "Art," I said. Art took in my report. The moment of shock lasted less than 0.01 second, but subjectively, it seemed longer. Then Art did what I should have done first and spoke to Amina on our private feed connection.
Amina, leave that compartment.
I added, now, Amina, it's potentially dangerous. Amina was agitated, but channeled it into squinting thoughtfully and pushing at her hair. She looked more like a human who had forgotten to do something rather than one who had just been told they were in danger.
Oh, my uncle's calling me on the feed.
She pushed to her feet, backing toward the hatch.
I'll check back with you later.
Elytra just nodded wearily. Amina let the hatch close and then ran down the corridor to me.
What is it?
She whispered. I took her arm and guided her around the corner. I was having a release of adrenaline from my organic parts, and I felt weird and cold. There was no way an implant could have been put into Amina. She'd never been out of my and Art's sight. But I scanned her again anyway. Art encountered the bearish Estranza transports before its first forced shutdown, I told her. Whatever attacked it and kidnapped its crew came from one of their ships. Amina's eyes widened.
Oh, shit.
We had another meeting, this one in the feed, again with Elytra's connection cut. This time Art let me do the video conference image, but I was too rattled to make it fancy. Arata and Oversay were still in the engineering pod. Rati and Tiago were still in medical. Amina and I ended up sitting in the hatchway of the galley so I could be close if Elytra decided to do something other than lying in the bunk room like a traumatized recovering human. Which she might still be, even though we had evidence indicating against it. Amina was nervously eating processed imitation vegetable fragments out of a container from the galley. She had asked me to let her listen in on the conference, but to mark her feed as on private. She told me,
if you need me to do something, I'll do it. But a lot of things have happened, and I just need a minute.
Tiago asked where she was, and I said, in the restroom. And she glared at me. I am not your social secretary, Amina. You want a better lie? Make up one yourself. I had converted my timeline into a format humans and augmented humans could read, annotated it, and put it up in the feed. It showed that Art's initial arrival in this system via the wormhole was its last substantiated memory. After that, everything was a reconstruction based on the status data. It looked like 1. Art's arrival in the system. 2. Art receives a distress signal with a bearish Estranza Corporation signature. Sensors show one contact, a configurable explorer ship. There is no sign of the second BE vessel, the supply transport, that Ross and Elytra said they were aboard when they were attacked. The distress call is marked as a request for medical assistance. 3. Art tractors the BE Explorer's shuttle into its module dock. 4. Unsubstantiated, but probably bad stuff happens. 5. BE Explorer then links up with Art's module dock, presumably to take Art's crew prisoner and leave the targets on board if the targets hadn't already boarded via the shuttle. I'd taken a look at the shuttle via Art's cameras, and going down to search it was next on my action list. 6. Art leaves the system via the wormhole. 7. Art exits the wormhole at Preservation Station after a trip barely lasting an impossible 3 hours, telling us the alien remnant tech was definitely in place on its engines at that point. 8. After sending and receiving communications from Preservation Station, Art goes into standby for 5 ship cycles. Art then targets our facility when it arrives, firing multiple times, missing spectacularly due to supplying faulty targeting data to its own weapon systems. I couldn't tell exactly when target control system had been uploaded to Art's systems, but it was before this point because the status updates told the story of a subtle but intense battle over the weapons. Art's crew had been held hostage for its good behavior, but it hadn't been willing to kill our survey team even after it knew it had me in its tractor. Target control system must have figured out who was jogging its arm every time it tried to fire, because that was when Art had been deleted, causing the equivalent of a giant seismic event in its status updates. I could see the others on Art's cameras, digesting the information with increasingly concerned expressions. Oversay said, "So, the memory Perihelion had of firing on a corporate transport never actually took place?" Art didn't answer. I think it was upset. I was also upset, but somebody had to be the adult here. I was used to Art being the adult. I said, "From the navigation sensor and status data I reviewed, weapons were not fired until Art encountered our facility in preservation space. And there is no archival video or interior sensor data of the docking with the BE Explorer, or of the arrival and docking of the shuttle Elytra and Ross said they were aboard." I didn't like to say it aloud, but I had to. Art was compromised not long after the first contact with the Explorer and its shuttle, something first removed and then significantly altered sections of its personal memory. The humans were quiet, taking that in. Then Rati said, "Poor Art. Excuse me, poor Perihelion." Arata grimaced in agreement. "It's disturbing. The BE Explorer must have arrived in the system first and was attacked. Taken over? By our friends, the targets. But if the supply transport actually exists, where is it now?" Oversay frowned. "It might have been destroyed. We have to assume Perihelion's crew are being held prisoner on the Explorer." "Is the Explorer armed?" Rati asked worriedly. "I hate being shot at." Again, Art didn't answer. I said, "Probably." For a reclamation project in a technically uninhabited system, it would be easier for Barish Astranza to afford a license and bond for an armed ship. Tiago paced in front of the med platform, his arms folded. "Perihelion and I have translated the speech that SEC unit recorded, and it was confusing at best. The targets, and we are going to have to come up with something else to call them, spoke of a need to complete their mission, but never said what the mission was." Rati added, "And they all have implants like Elytra's." The other humans looked like they didn't know what to think about that. I didn't know what to think about it either. Arata said, "But could you tell if there was alien remnant exposure?" "The scan isn't showing anything that matches the list of known strange synthetics or organic alien remnants." Rati glanced at Tiago for confirmation. "But that doesn't eliminate the possibility." Tiago said, "Statistics suggest there are many undiscovered alien remnant sites, and many others that no one has been able to get close enough to analyze their component materials. And the scan is turning up traces of unidentifiable elements in their bodies. We can't tell if they're naturally occurring elements or strange synthetics until we have planetary survey data to compare them to." Rati gestured and sent some scan results into the feed for the others to look at. "And those suits they're wearing do have a factory code stamped on them. I can't read it, and Perihelion's database can't identify it, though that might be because of the reinitialization or the memory archive issues. But I suspect they came in the supplies for one of the two colonies, either the original one or the corporate colony seeded by Adamantine." Tiago said, "What we do know for certain is that the targets were altered to look as they do. We don't know if they did it to themselves or if it was an accidental exposure to a dangerous alien remnant. If they weren't all dead, we could ask them." Yeah, that was aimed at me. "If they weren't all dead, they'd be trying to kill us or stick implants in us," Amina grumbled, still off feed and crunching vegetable matter. Oversay spread her hands. "Where does this leave Elytra? Were SEC unit and Amina meant to rescue her and her friend?
Were they meant to be spies, possibly?
I think that's too far-fetched. Arata's forehead scrunched in thought. The targets couldn't have any idea a SEC unit would be capable of seizing control of the ship when they brought it aboard. They thought they were looking for a weapon, not a person. So why set an elaborate trap with spies?
Oversay slumped in her chair, frustrated.
Right, that's true.
She looked tired. I suspected it was a bad idea to have a meeting when all the humans were running out of brain capacity. Rati added, I think Elytra is telling the truth, that her memories were altered, just like Perihelion's were.
You just want to believe the best about everyone, Oversay said, still a little skeptical.
Rati snorted. No, that's Tiago. I'm optimistic, but a realist.
Tiago looked mildly insulted.
No, that's me,
Arata corrected and smiled at Oversay.
I'm an optimist.
We know, honey.
Oversay squeezed her shoulder. Tiago said, Amina, are you back on the feed? What is your opinion of Elytra? Do you think she told you the truth, that she didn't remember what happened?
Amina seemed surprised to be asked for an opinion, but she swallowed what she was eating and said on the general feed,
At first I thought so. They were both so worried about proprietary information and getting in trouble, that seemed real to me. Now, I don't think she's afraid enough.
She was frustrated, trying to think how to explain.
I think she's either lying or something has messed with her mind so much that she doesn't know what happened, and now she's afraid to admit it.
Arata looked up at the ceiling.
Perihelion, can you tell us anything else? What do you think happened?
Art hadn't said anything, and that was beginning to worry me. Art likes to give its opinion, and I'm not even sure likes is the right word there, but basically, Art gives its opinion whether you like it or not. It was beginning to feel strange that it hadn't weighed in yet to tell the humans they were missing something obvious, or weren't approaching the problem the right way or whatever. When it still didn't respond, I said, Art is trying to reassemble its log data right now. It'll be out of contact for a short time.
Amina squinted suspiciously at me.
Is that true?
She whispered.
I made a gesture I was hoping she would interpret as, please don't tell them I'm lying.
Arata said, thank you, SEC unit.
She scratched her fingers through her short hair like she was trying to get her thoughts together.
This was definitely a problem.
The humans needed to recharge or sleep or whatever, or their decision-making abilities would be even worse than usual.
She continued, So, right, none of this fundamentally changes our objectives. We still need to find Perihelion's crew, but at least now we know our first step is to track down the Explorer.
I was hoping Art would comment, even if it was going to say something like, or else, but there was nothing. Tiago had been looking thoughtful, which I tried not to see as a bad sign. He said,
Arata, I'd like to get Elytra back into medical for a thorough neurological scan. Also, that will give me a chance to speak to her myself. I'll review Amina's full report and then see if I can get us any more information.
Arata told Tiago,
Good idea. Optimism aside, we need to know if she's lying and plotting something, or if she genuinely thinks she's telling the truth. Let's try to get as much information as we can before anything else happens.
I established a private connection to Arata's feed and told her, You all need a rest period. Arata hesitated, then she winced and rubbed her temple.
You're probably right about that. I'll talk to the others.
I put the vid display back on standby. Amina scraped the last vegetable matter out of the container and said,
Is Art really working on something?
Sure, I said. She stared at me.
Maybe.
I secured a channel just for the three of us, me, Art, and Amina. I sent, Art, answer me. You're scaring Amina.
Ugh, I needed to be honest or this wouldn't help.
I added, "You're scaring me." It was a relief when Art said, "I'm continuing the repair of my normal space drive and examining long-range system scan data to determine possible search patterns for the Explorer."
"Are you okay?"
Amina asked.
"No,"
Art said. I hadn't expected Art to admit it. Really hadn't expected.
"Right. So, that isn't good."
Amina took a breath, visibly regrouping, and nodded.
"Sure, I can see that. But we're not any worse off now than we were before you two figured this out. In fact, we're better off, because now we're helping you find out exactly what happened. And it's always better to have more information to act on."
Her glance at me was wry.
"My second mother says that."
Art pinged me for a private connection, and I let it establish one. It said,
"My crew. What if they never left?"
I knew what it meant. I said, "Art, there was nothing indicating that humans were killed or injured on board. I checked. It was the first thing I checked for in the quarters module. There was nothing, and you've scanned yourself. The targets trashed some cabins and left debris and their own fluids. They wouldn't have cleaned up after it." I hesitated, but I had to be completely honest about what I thought or Art would know. "They wouldn't have cleaned up after a mass murder. I've seen mass murders, Art. They leave a lot of mess." It didn't reply, but I could feel it listening. I said, "Once we get your drones fixed, we can have them check again for biotraces, but I don't think we'll find anything. I think that whatever happened, your humans were fine when they left here." Art said,
"Is that an indication they left voluntarily?"
It was a point to consider,